Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
It's so good to be back in North Carolina. You have such a beautiful state. I live in Texas. I love Texas, but it's not pretty like it is here. So just be grateful for where you live. Most of you have heard me speak before. I have what's called hot dog Christianity. I'm excited about being a Christian and the good news of Jesus Christ. Most Christians are what I call dog-tired Christians. You know, they're just kind of looking at you mean and sour. And they, you know, when the angels showed up, think of what they said. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy." They didn't say, "I got a plan to make you miserable for the rest of your life," did they? So we're going to have some joy today. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to teach you some things. People sometimes ask, "What do you do?" Best way I can explain what I do is this. How many remember when the only thing you had to play with was the outside? Anybody remember that? The outside. You know? I mean, your mother would say, "Go outside." You know, go. And my house is, "Go play in the ditch." You know, go play in the ditch. One year had a big rain. We had another ditch. Two, go play in the other ditch. You know, go outside. So some of you kids, it's going to be like the History Channel today. But let's go play in the outside. And so my dad was a Baptist preacher, right? So we were poor and we lived in the parsonage, all right? We lived at the church. You know, that's why I became a psychologist, because we lived at the church, and I thought those people need a lot of help. So only thing I played with outside, so we played marbles. Anybody remember marbles, all right? You know, you named them Roly-Poly, Black Beauty, Steelies, you named your marbles, you know. And so, well, my dad's a Baptist preacher. You can play marbles, but you can't play for keeps, all right? Because we Baptists, we're pretty much against everything, you know. So if it's fun, you ain't doing it. If it tastes good, spit it out, you know. So I'm pretty much Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. So I understand it all, but that... But he said, "You can play marbles, but you can't play for keeps." So what do? I play for keeps. I mean, I'm a kid, you know. I disobey my dad, I play for keeps. And there's always a bully, somebody bigger, somebody stronger. He'd threaten to beat you up or steal or cheat, or he'd do whatever he wanted to do. And then after a while, I realized I've lost my marbles. I've lost my marbles. Well, how am I going to get them back? Well, I got to go back to my dad. I got to tell him the truth. I disobeyed. I played for keeps, and the bullies, he's got my marbles. And then my dad would go confront the bully, and sometimes the bully's dad, and get my marbles back. Well, that's what I do. I go around the country, and lots of people, some of you, you've lost your marbles. And I tell you how good your Heavenly Father is and how you got to tell the truth. You know, you got to face it to fix it. If you go back to your Heavenly Father, you can get some of your marbles back. So that's what we're going to do today, try to get some of your marbles. Now, can't get all of them back. We bring a lot of resources, you know, and on our website, we pretty much have a series for whatever dysfunction you have. Fortunately, most of you don't know what your dysfunction is, but the person beside you does. So you just kind of ask them, "What do you think I need?" And they'll tell you, and you can go get that. But today we're going to do a little mini sermon off a series we have called Living the Dream. Now, when I say dream, I don't mean nighttime dreams, okay? Freud was a, you know, psychoanalyst, psychiatrist guy, a little strange guy, but he said that the dreams were the royal road to the unconscious, you know, because at night you just dream, you know, and all kind of stuff, and people get carried away with dreams at night. They, you know, a guy will tell me, you know, "I had this dream and God told me this." I said, "That's what God, that's Mexican food. That's not God." God isn't going to tell you to do that, you know, that's crazy. But dreams, you know, my wife had a dream the other night and woke up, you know, kind of, you know. I said, "Man, you have a bad dream?" And she said, "Actually, it was a nightmare." I said, "A nightmare?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I dreamed that Brad Pitt and you were fighting over me." I said, "That's a nightmare?" She said, "Yeah, you were winning." So we're not talking about that dream. So what we're talking about is this. We're talking about the vision, the picture. If you're in the business world, you may call it a goal. That vision of what God had in mind when he created you, of what kind of great life you could have. That's that vision. That's what you have to see. And what you're going to find out is the more you're trying to get what you want down here, and the more the pressure and the pleasure principle try to get you, the more you have to extend your vision into the future in order to get through the pleasure. You got to get through the purpose to get through the world pleasure tries to offer you, because the world's a Ponzi scheme, and so it's always trying to get you to not do your... Matter of fact, because I am from Dallas, I'm a huge Cowboy fan. And actually, they're going to be pallbearers at my funeral, so they can let me down one last time. But we had a coach at the Cowboys. His name was Tom Landry. And here's what Tom Landry says. My job as a coach is to make guys do what they do not want to do in order to accomplish what they've dreamed of doing all their lives. Now, that's not only your job as a coach. That's a job as a parent, as a teacher, as a leader. Matter of fact, that's your job. Your job in life, matter of fact, in order to make your vision or your dream come true, is to get your Adam suit to do what it does not want to do. I call your body your Adam suit, because we all come from the Adams family. Remember Uncle Adam? And so your Adam suit, now, it's not you, but it's what carries you around, okay? And any spiritual thing you do, you're going to have to do through your Adam suit, all right? Now, your Adam suit is corrupted. Matter of fact, God's got to kill your Adam suit to one day get you into heaven. You're not going to totally redeem your Adam suit. The more you can redeem it, the better off you're going to be down here, all right? But you can't totally redeem it, because God's going to kill it to get you into heaven and to give you a new suit, okay? That's going to be a better one than what you got now. As a matter of fact, that's why Jesus came, to live the life you couldn't live, to die the death you couldn't die, to get you into heaven. Okay, but has nothing to do with getting into heaven, but your life down here will depend on how well you can redeem your Adam suit. You say, well, wait a minute, we're the Christians, we come to church. It doesn't matter, you still got your Adam suit you can't control. You know, Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian that ever lived, what did he say about his Adam suit? The things I want to do, I can't seem to do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Now, that's not a teenager. That's the greatest Christian that ever lived, all right? Why? Because he couldn't control his Adam suit, okay? I work with mega church pastors. I work with all kind of people, and they lose their calling. Why? Because they can't control their Adam suit. Matter of fact, let me just give you a little background before we get to Joseph, which was eventually we may not get to. But anyway, Joseph, we're going to live in the dream. Joseph said this to his brothers. He told them his dream, and his brothers hated him yet the more. Now, the reason they hated him is because Joseph is the first one in the family to tell the truth. He gave a bad report on his brothers. He told his dad, this isn't the kind of family you think it is. We got some issues we need to deal with. And the issues you do not deal with will eventually deal with you, okay? What you resent, matter of fact, growing up in your family, you'll end up resembling as you have your family if you don't deal with those issues. And so, how did Jacob get those issues? Jacob is Joseph's father, and Jacob, if you know the Old Testament, there's a phrase in the Bible that goes like this, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember that phrase? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's all through the Old Testament. It was supposed to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, but Esau could not control his Adam suit. But in fact, one day, Esau wanted some pleasure, and the world is always offering you immediate pleasure. Okay, now it doesn't tell you there's long-term consequences. You know, it shows you the bait, it doesn't show you the hook, and you don't know you're hooked until you're cooked. All right, that's the way it all works. It's a Ponzi scheme. And so the world says you can have this without that. And the problem is you can have this without that for a short period of time. Unfortunately, by the time that shows up, you're addicted to the this. Okay, that's your problems and that's my problems. Okay, so Jacob says, you can have my stew, but you have to give up your birthright. Now, in that day, the birthright was huge. It was the thing. And so that was his calling. That was his dream. Man, I got the birthright. I'm the firstborn. He says, if you give it, you give up that up. And Esau says, I got to have it. Give it to me. And he gave him that, and he lost his birthright. He gave up his calling. He gave up his dream for that immediate pleasure. You say, do people do that? Oh, yeah. People do. Matter of fact, every day most of us give up part of our dream for a little bit of pleasure. Most of us do that. And the more you can remember to learn to extend that vision so you don't do that, the more you're able to handle that and be the person God created you to be. It's like how many ladies in here had babies? Any ladies in here that mothers? Let me just raise your hand. This is audience participation, okay? A little group therapy, all right? You got to come with me. Now, before you had that baby, they had a shower for you, and they didn't call it a pain shower, did they? You know, they could have. Let's have a pain shower. Let's just let them know how much pain they're going to go through. You know, let's put some words, let's flash some words up there, like epidural, like if you don't get that, you're going to die. And maybe the word morphine, man, you're going to be crying out for morphine. You know, you don't do that. Why? It'd be so discouraging. You know you're going to go through the pain. So what do? You have a vision of a baby. You have something out there that's going to be what you've dreamed of doing, you see. That's what you have to do with your life. You have to have this vision. And that's why the Bible says, without a vision, you perish. And so he didn't have that vision, so he gave into that immediate pleasure, loses his birthright. Now, Jacob tricked him a little bit. Matter of fact, he used a goat and a coat, if you know your Bible, to finally get the birthright. But he gets the birthright. And remember, if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. So the trickster now gets tricked. All right, so he leaves that. He's got the birthright. Now he's a rich guy. So he finds this good-looking woman. The Bible says she was beautiful in form. She was just a good-looking woman. Her name is Rachel. Falls in love with Rachel. Well, Rachel's dad says, you can marry her, but you have to work for 7 years. All right, I wish we did that today. You know, most of you know my background. I got 3 daughters. And so, you know, the only thing mail in my house is a mailbox. And sometimes I'd actually go talk to the mailbox. I'd say, mailbox, tough in there today, mailbox. So 3 daughters, I could have got son-in-laws to work 21 years, you know. That would have been a good deal. But no, we changed all that where now the father pays for the wedding. How stupid is that, you know? I'm now the maid of debt. Instead of getting the guys to work for me, I'm paying for the whole thing. But anyway, that's my issues. We won't go over that. So 7 years, you get to marry Rachel. After 7 years, he says, you don't get to marry Rachel. You get to marry Leah. See, why? Because she's the firstborn. He tricks the trickster with the same trick. You know, and so he gets Leah, which the Bible called weak-eyed, which I really don't want to know what that means, but probably real ugly. I don't know. But so he gets her, and so he has this family now, and of course he has Joseph. Joseph tells the brother this dream. They're already mad at him, and the dad says, go check on your brothers. They're in this kind of foreign area. Well, Joseph knows that's not a good idea. My brothers hate me. He knows that's not a good idea to go check on the brothers where the father can't protect him. But Joseph believed in positional authority, which means he didn't trust his dad to make the right decision. He trusted God to take care of him. You see, if you can trust God, you can be in a position of what we call submission, because you can understand those people can't do anything to you that God can't take and use for you. You see, the cross is the biggest plus in your life. What the cross means is what the worst thing anybody could do to somebody, which was the cross, became the best thing for everybody. And if he can do that with a cross, then you don't have to worry about all these other people doing things to you. And so Joseph understood that, so he went and checked on his brothers. And his brothers said, here's the problem, Joseph. He's our problem. You see, they didn't own their problem. They didn't take 100%. Let me just tell you about your problems. If you take 0% responsibility for your problems, you got a 0% chance of solving your problems. If you take 100% responsibility for your problems, you got a 100% chance of solving your problems. His brothers thought Joseph was the problem, so they made excuses. Joseph focused on excellence. His brothers focused on excuses. And they said, Joseph is our problem. If we just get rid of him, things would be great. And that's why your Adam suit always thinks. It always thinks it's somebody else's problem. It's the boss's problem. It's my job's problem. It's my kid's problem. It's somebody else's problem. Your Adam suit's always trying to get you to think that way. So they sell Joseph. They think about killing him. They sell him. And then they go back to Jacob, his father, and say, Jacob, your son's been killed. And they have his coat. Remember, he had a coat of many colors? They put blood on his coat from a goat. So Jacob, who tricked with a goat and a coat to get the birthright, now has tricked himself with a goat and a coat, thinking that he's lost his son. Remember, if you don't deal with it, it'll come back and deal with you. So then Joseph is sold. He's sold into Egypt, and Joseph becomes second in command to a huge business run by a man named Potiphar. Wherever Joseph went, the Bible says he served people. He blessed people. He went to work not as a mercenary to get money. He went to work as a missionary to serve and bless people. If you can ever figure out how to be a missionary and bless people, God will figure out how to give you enough money to do it, all right? So he goes understanding that I'm going to bless as many people as possible. So when you have that attitude, you will go straight up in whatever company or whatever business you're in. So Joseph goes all the way to the top. So he's over everything. And by the way, that's where Christians ought to be. We ought to go all the way to the top. That's how we make a difference in this world. Daniel, the Bible says, was 10 times better. That's why Daniel was a huge influence on his culture. Most Christians, we want to, instead of making a point, we need to learn to make a difference. You know, if you make a difference first, then maybe one day you can make a point. We want to stand up for stuff. But the problem is we need to first stand out so they'll actually believe the stuff we stand up for, you see. Matter of fact, the coach said to the ball player, don't quote scripture till you hit home runs. So what he meant there is don't talk about stuff that you can't do. First, be successful. Do what dream God has for you. Then people will listen to you. You will have credibility. Joseph had credibility. He goes all the way to the top. But then Mrs. Potiphar, you probably know the story, tries to seduce Joseph. He's a 19-year-old kid in a foreign land, probably a huge temptation. But Joseph understood that he didn't want to settle for immediate pleasure. He had a long-term dream that included lots of good stuff for him, if only he would keep that vision in mind. So he was able to not give in to that temptation. You see, the world has a lure for your lust. It always has something out there that will attract you, but then it will attack you. At first, it will fascinate you, then it will assassinate you. You can get away with it for a while. Sin is fun for a season, but then the consequences catch up, and usually it's too late. I'm in lots of airports because that's how I fly, and my arms get tired otherwise. So And your airport actually has them. They're called people movers. You know, they're like escalators that are on the floor, and they're actually moving sidewalks. And I love them because you can really go fast. It's going that way, and you're going that way, and man, it's moving, and you're moving, and man, that's just cool. I like it. It's usually late at night, and there's usually a ball team, like probably teenage boys. You know, because you know teenage boys at a certain age, their IQ's like plant life, you know, and so I wonder sometimes, can your IQ test come back negative? I mean, you know, so they're at night late, and you know what they decide to do? We want to go up the people mover the wrong way, you know. Why? Because we can do it, you know, because we're young and we're mean and we do it, you know. So they actually can make progress. I mean, you know, it's going this way and they're going this way and they're making progress. And it's funny, though, because after they do about two of them, you know, they're starting to get a little tired. And then they want to celebrate and, you know, laugh at each other for what they're doing. So they turn around, they start laughing at each other and talking, and the thing starts taking them back. And then they wind up right where they started. I've seen that so many times as a psychologist. People who say, oh, no, I can handle this. I'm not going to get addicted to that. Yeah, I can do this. And then you see them 5 or 10 years later, they're right back where they started. Lost their job, lost their family. You know, why? Because the world's a Ponzi scheme. You see, the world's always saying, the world says things like, life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, just do whatever you want, and nobody knows. That's not true. You know what the Bible says? Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You pretty much tell me what you're doing, I'll pretty much tell you how it's going to turn out. I promise you. You know, now there's going to be a few surprises. You know, life is like a box of chocolate if it's a Whitman sampler. Remember Whitman sampler? You could look up in if you. It tells you what's in the box. If you want chocolate and peanuts, third from the right, bingo, boom, got it. You know, now they wrapped up a few things. Remember those? They had a few prizes. Surprise. There's going to be a few surprises in your life. Yeah. But pretty much, you tell me what you're doing. In the long term, I'll tell you how it's going to turn out. I'll tell you how it's going to turn out. So sin first attracts you, then it attacks you. there was a city guy came out to one of the farmer's place, and the farmer was feeding his pigs. City man was fascinated because the farmer was throwing pigs way, the food way out in front of the pigs, way out in front. All those pigs rushing to get out in front of that, get out in front. He said, man, that's a unique way of feeding pigs and hogs. He said, I'm not feeding them. I'm leading them to the slaughterhouse, you see. And that's what sin does. It always has something out there that you got to have in order to be happy, and not knowing that the long term. See, eventually the wages of sin is death, but also the wages of sin is death to your dream. You cannot be the person that God wants you to be, trying to do everything that would make you happy right now instead of waiting for that dream to come true. Getting your body to do what it does not want to do today so you can accomplish that dream. So he gives in. He runs. He gets away from it. He knows he can't handle the situation. And then he gets thrown in jail. He did what's right, but the consequences. Now, he didn't doubt, so he didn't pout. Even in prison, he serves people. He notices that people, these guys are sad, and so he asks them what he can do to help them. And they say, well, you know, we've had this dream. And he tells them what the dream means. And then he goes back to the one guy who worked for the king goes back and he says, look, when you go back, remember me. I'm in prison here. I'm not supposed to be here. And the guy forgot about him. 2 years, he forgets about him. And then finally, the king has a dream. And he says, I can't interpret this. And finally, the guy remembers, well, there's a guy in prison 2 years ago that he knows about stuff like this. So the king sends for Joseph, and the Bible says he shaved, he cleans himself up. He's an ambassador for God. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I want to be good, look good, sound good. I want to do whatever I can in order to be not an embarrassment to Christ, but an ambassador for Christ. He cleans himself up, and the king says he has this problem. He can't interpret the dream. And Joseph says, it's not in me. He always gives God credit. He says, but I got a God that can help you. You will find out your dream will come true when you're able to solve a problem for other people. When they come to a need in their life and they don't have an answer, then you have been that influence and they've been able to see you. You see, it's not at work grabbing somebody by the collar and say, how hot is hell, sanctified or French fried. It's when they have a need in their life and they see your life, and your life grabs them by the heart, and they say, how can I have that attitude you have at work? How can I have the marriage you have? How can I have the kids you have? You know, how can I live the way you're living? See, then you can use that influence in order to do that. And of course, then the brothers come back, and the brothers are concerned that Joseph's going to get back at him. And then a great verse of scripture, you probably know it in chapter 50, it says this to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to save many people alive. Matter of fact, that are still alive this day. What did he mean by that? We are here because of what Joseph did. You see, that was God's people, and God's people were sent into Egypt so they could have food and survive. And then, of course, Moses came along to get them out. See, it all started with Abraham. Abraham, the Bible says, had a vision, and the vision was that God would bless him so he could bless the whole world. And because of Jesus Christ, we're all in that covenant with Abraham. Matter of fact, here's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. People always ask me, well, what's my purpose in life? Your purpose is to bless people. Now, you will do it in a different way. You may do it this way, real estate. You may do it this. We all do it different ways, but our purpose is to bless people. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says it this way. When people do evil against you, don't do evil back. When they revile against you, don't revile back. But contrary, in other words, different than the way it seems, different than the way the whole world thinks. This is the way you think as a Christian. You bless them. Why? Because God will then bless you. That's the way he set up the world. That's the way he set up his family in order to do that. See, we think it this way. I'm going to bless you, and then you're going to bless me back. So I bless you, I bless you, I bless you, and I keep on blessing you. I bless you again. I go to church, I'm blessed some more. You know, well, I'm getting a little discouraged, but I'm going to bless you, bless you, bless you. But then after a while, my Adam suit gets to thinking, well, why don't they bless me back? And you start saying things like, after all I've done for that person. Let me see if you can understand it by doing the physical. You can't see the emotional, but you can see the physical. You ever had anybody have an abscessed tooth or something that hurt really bad? I had an abscessed tooth one time. It really hurt. Now, when I had that abscessed tooth, was I thinking about blessing somebody else? No. I was thinking only of me. Relief. What can I do to get some relief? I was in so much pain. Some people have emotionally abscessed. They're in so much pain, they'll never bless you. Matter of fact, at least one in your family, you know, every family tree has a sap. There's at least one in your family, you know. There's always some son-in-law or whatever, you know. They're in so much emotional pain, they're never going to bless you back. But you bless them not for them to bless you back. You bless them because God's going to bless you back. Let me see if I can give you a personal illustration. I was asked to do a big convention a couple of years ago. A big business convention. Big business conventions pay lots of money, okay? Now, I've got a no-show, no-dough job, so I got to do a few of those because most of the time I speak in churches, all right? And churches are pretty much cheap. You know, that's just the way it is, you know? So I was really excited because I got this big event. Thousands of people paid me really well. And so I asked the president of the convention, why did you pick me? Okay, because I want to get picked again, you know. And he said, oh, I can tell you exactly why. He said, a couple of years ago, you came to my little church, and he said the name of the church. And when he said the name, I almost cringed because it was a pitiful church, all right? Now, I come to your church. You got a great church here. I go to some pitiful churches, all right? They put me in a Motel 3, you know. You only get half the Gideon's Bible in a Motel 3. You got to put a quarter in the bed to keep it from vibrating, you know. The restaurant takes Blue Cross, Blue Shield. It's just a tough place, you know. And when he said the name of the church, man, I thought, oh, man, I remembered that. I mean, it was a Motel 3, you know, and I'm thinking, but I smiled, you know, because, you know, Christians, it's better to look good than tell the truth, right? You know, so I kind of smiled, said, yeah, I remember being there, you know, and deep down I was thinking, wow, yeah. He said, yeah, you came to my little church and said, before that, my mother had passed away and my dad came to live with me and said he was just depressed, angry, and wouldn't go back to church anymore, and he just kind of sat over there in a chair. I couldn't get him out of the chair, just sat there. So you were coming, so I played him a little clip on YouTube, and I said, listen to this guy. He's funny. He's coming to our church, and I want you to watch him. He said he watched it, and he laughed out loud. Said, I haven't heard my dad laugh out loud in years. I said, Dad, won't you come with me to church, and let's hear that guy. And his dad said, can he be funny at church? Which is a really good question, you know, because I'm in some churches, their halos are on way too tight. You know what I mean? They are the frozen chosen. And so he said, oh, yeah, that they know what he's like. That's why they're bringing him here, because, you know, he's going to be funny. And he said, I'll go. Said he went to church on Sunday and said he laughed out loud a couple of times. They had a couples banquet that night, because that's what I do. I kind of come and win over people and come back for a couples banquet. And he said, do you think the pastor would let me go to that couples banquet, although I'm not married? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, well, I want to go hear that funny guy again. And he said, yeah, the pastor. He called the pastor. The pastor said, let him sit at my table. So he said he sent it right up front. I was in the back, and I watched him watch you. And said, I watched him laugh again, smile again. He said, after it's over, I bought him that book, Comic Belief. You signed it for him. He said, every night from then on, I'd look over there in that chair. He'd be reading a chapter. He'd be smiling. Sometimes he'd laugh out loud. Every now and then he'd say, listen to what Charles said about this. Listen to this. This is crazy what he said about this. And he'd laugh. He said, I'd look over there, and in my mind I thought, if I can ever bless the man that helped my dad smile. He said he passed away about 6 months later. The last years of his life, I'm going to bless him. He said, when I became president of this convention, there was no doubt in my mind you were going to be the speaker. Now, do I still go to some pitiful churches? Oh, yeah. But my attitude's totally different. Why? Because I only got to bless one person. Okay? I only got to sell one book. And God says, I can bless you for that. And once you understand that, you start to relax. You start to enjoy the dream that God's given you. Let me see if I can break it down. It's pretty simple. There's just two powers in this world. There's the power of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And they've chosen to change the world by blessing the world. Even at Calvary, when they could have blasted the world, they chose to bless the world. There's another power, the power of Satan, the evil one, the accuser, the liar. And at every opportunity, he will blast people. And at every opportunity, God will bless people. I like country music. Some of it's pitiful. I mean, Papa loved Mama, Mama loved men, Mama's in the graveyard, Papa's in the pen. No redeeming social value there whatsoever. You know. Or my wife ran off my best friend and I miss him. You know, not very good. But there was a song that came out years ago. Matter of fact, don't listen to it. It's pitiful too. But it had a great title. You know what the title was? Who's Your Daddy? Who's Your Daddy? See, if I could follow you around at work or home or school and see whether you bless or whether you blast, I would know who's your daddy. Because our Father has chosen to bless the world. And He's chosen to bless the world through us. That is His dream for mankind. And the more we get in on His dream, the more our dream becomes true.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.